The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. Not just any Wednesday morning, but Happy New Year. January 1st, 2025 Wednesday morning. From all of us here to Numbers Game, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in, the VSiN app, it's Gil Alexander, it is Kelly Bidlin, everybody, producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Happy New Year's to you, ringing in 2025. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year. Let's go. 2025's here.
2025 is here. You know, I was saying to Deborah Song, fashion stylist yesterday. Yes, exactly. I said to her yesterday, I go, can you believe it's been a quarter century since Y2K?
No.
She goes, yeah, it kind of feels like 25 years. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe you're right. then I workshopped, right? This is workshopping this. And then I was like, can you believe that we're just shy of 5 years away from the onset of the pandemic?
That's crazy, too.
To which she also said, yeah, no.
I don't know. The pandemic's tough because like at times it feels like it was a year ago, and at times it feels like it was 20 years ago, so I don't really know.
Yeah, it kind of messes up with your sense of
especially
time.
Since we were, like, working throughout it. We were like, let's do sports betting shows with Russian ping pong?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Yeah, there was that. It's all about college football today. Maybe not all, but generally about college football today. As the national quarterfinals began last night, which we'll get into momentarily, Penn State's win over Boise State. JVT will join us momentarily to talk about his thoughts on the three remaining quarterfinal games today. And, of course, the NBA, as he is our senior NBA analyst. Kelly, you and me with our New Year's betting resolutions.
Let's go.
This is a primetime action tradition.
Yeah, I think we've done this every year.
I think
right?
Maybe.
We did it last year.
I think so.
No. I don't know. I asked for last year's graphics. Ryan never sent them to me, so maybe we didn't.
I
found ones from 2 years ago.
And then we'll talk college football with Tim Brando from Fox Sports joining the show this morning. That's very nice of him to do so on this New Year's Day. Chris Felica. Double duty with Felica, the Bear. Looking forward to that as well on this New Year's morning. And then Adam Burke, which is really the hardest booking of all of these people, is Adam Burke.
Adam Burke's a busy guy. He's on a lot of shows, does a ton around here.
He is our VSiN.
He was excited to come on today, though.
Managing editor. We're excited to have him.
I think he's on Skype, but I don't know. Maybe we'll get a surprise in studio.
Listen, if I had my way, I would have Adam Burke on every single week.
He's one of the best.
But you can't get him on. He's too busy.
Busy guy.
I mean that about Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Let us begin with last night's opening to the quarterfinal. Again, big stretches between the first round and the quarters, and then between the quarters and the end of next week will be the semis, and then we got to wait even longer for the final. So this will be a bit of a drag out thing, but thank goodness we have a 12-team playoff. I think most feel that way. I don't know. We'll see how people feel after all is said and done.
Yeah.
But after a first round that featured nothing but blowouts, apologies to Clemson, I get it. You were kind of in it at one point. Penn State 31, Boise State 14, a final score that looks a lot more lopsided than it actually was. And I think the question that we bandied around yesterday after this game, those of us in our little thread with Fezzik, Will Hill, Wishnev, and Felica was, obviously Penn State gets the money, but what was the gambler's narrative? What was the right side? What was the right side in this game? And we came to the conclusion, by the way, we all had Penn State in the end, but we came to the conclusion the line was probably right. That both sides could claim after this that they were, in fact, the right side. Now, I know people with Boise State tickets are like, what are you talking about? There were so many missed opportunities for Boise State. They lost the turnover battle 4-1. They missed two field goals. By the way, you see that first field goal?
It was like,
oh, my God.
This is where,
Jesus, what was that? You know,
college kickers and college free throw shooters. Have fun.
Even Bob Wischusen, who's fantastic, by the way. Bob Wischusen, who did the game with Lewis Riddick yesterday, he thought it had to be blocked. He's like, I think it must have been blocked. No, it was blocked.
Lewis Riddick, who, I don't know, works more than anybody in sports, it seems. Like, I feel like he's on two games a weekend, and then I see him on ESPN every single day.
Yeah. Boise State also had 13 penalties. Penn State still had 10, by the way. 23 total penalties in this game. Boise State had a touchdown callback. So there was definitely an argument to be made that Boise State could have covered. They were in cover range for most of this game. As the total, by the way, goes under the total of 55, only 45 scored. But I would argue if you're on the Penn State side of things, again, the 10 penalties, We tend to gloss over the fact that Abdul Carter was hurt for most of this game. He left the game in the second quarter. That's obviously a massive loss for the Penn State defense. And then there was the question of Penn State's really strange play calling at different times of the game. There were a couple third and shorts, one deep in their own territory, where they decided, let's just throw in a misdirection pass play just for giggles. And it didn't work either time. And so, and then Penn State, when they got to it, they sort of gashed.
Yeah.
So I think you can make a case for both sides. I don't think there was, in other words, in the end, a quote-unquote right side. Pardon me. But the Nittany Lions backers get the money. 31-14, they cover the 11.5 consensus spread in this one. It's also a very strange sort of final sequence to this game, where Penn State got into the got it to 31-14, so they were in cover mode here, and James Franklin keenly aware of the cover of what number he's got.
Thing with James Franklin.
he knows. Trust me, he knows. But Boise State then decided to run Ashton Gentry. So this is the last couple minutes of the game. You're down 17. You got to matriculate the ball down the field. And they start handing the ball off to Genty. And so I immediately go, they're trying to give him 100 yards here or something. Yeah. Three plays later, Wischusen and Riddick were like, oh, I think they're trying to give him 100 yards. Felica correctly said, no, it's not just the 100 yards. Maybe they're trying to get Genty to break the all-time record.
Yeah.
By the way, record in like not only quotes, but in massive quotes. Because we talked about this with Saquon this week in the NFL. Saquon can break, quotes, Eric Dickerson's all-time record, right? The one of a single-season rushing record for rushing yards, which O.J. Simpson had in 14 games, and Eric Dickerson has currently having played a 16-game schedule. Saquon is going to be a 17-game schedule with a bye. And then, of course, the counter to that is he has fewer carries than does Dickerson at this point.
Which I feel is important to point out.
It is important to point out.
But
it's still 17 with a bye.
It's an asterisk to the asterisk.
But the point is that one you can sort of...
Right.
You can sort of
I get on board with it still.
You can have a debate about that. This one you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Barry Sanders had his record in 11 football games. And they don't count 200-plus yards that he got in a bowl game. So record schmeckered is, I believe, what my mom used to say on this.
I was trying to find the carries for Barry, but
anyway, by the way, he didn't get it. Genty didn't, but it was just a very strange ending to the game where they, and it was the one thing that Wischusen, by the way, again, I'll say it again. I feel like Bob Wischusen is one of the more underrated play-by-play guys in all of college football, and he did a great job. They did miss on that because they didn't, no one whispered in his ear that that's probably what was happening there. But it took a late Penn State pick. They did so on the final two Boise State drives, but on that last drive to assure the cover in that one. As far as the other college football games yesterday, I had the South Carolina. I got that game wrong. Did you see any of the Beamer versus Bielema cage match?
No, I did not.
This was the weirdest thing ever yesterday. So South Carolina did this thing where they kept substituting, right? And they kept substituting in a way where they wouldn't stop, and it was, and Bielema's reaction to this was, I am going to slow play. You know how the defense gets
Bielema? An equal
Bielema, yeah. When do I say Bielema? Yeah.
Is that a new guy?
The point is that his face is extremely punchable. We have the numbers game investigative staff to find out if it's the most punchable face.
Ashton Gentry with 30 more carries than Barry Sanders.
30 more carries.
Yeah.
Right. But he ends up falling less than 30 yards short of the single season rushing record. 27 yards short. And again, really, would we have been saying Ashton Gentry had that record afterwards?
And eight touchdowns. Barry Sanders had 37 touchdowns that year, rushing touchdowns. It's incredible.
It was also a time, 1988, where I'll speak for those who grew up on the East Coast. The way that college football was back then, we didn't get to see any of it.
Yeah.
We didn't see any of it. I think we saw Barry Sanders finally in a bowl game. But like the whole year, we were aware of these stats he was accumulating, but we never got to see an Oklahoma State game the entire year.
Mm.
Anyway, I got the South Carolina game wrong because Illinois ends up winning it late. But it was just this thing where Bielema finally, he was just like, you know, he would slow play the defensive substitutions. Then there was an Illinois player hurt sort of on the South Carolina side of the field. So when he went out there, he taunted with a What's the legal substitution or whatever? No, with it, you know, with the arms extended, how they let the substitutions happen. And so Beamer just lost his mind. He thought there was going to be a fight in that. So today, the three games, we're going to talk about this all day long here, obviously, on the show. Do you have any bets on these games?
I have not made a single bet yet, Gil, but I've written down a few things. I'm going to see what the guests say today because we got some great college football guests on. Well, once again, I've remembered for the fourth time that I have a Georgia national championship future, so I'll be rooting for Georgia.
I do too. At 5-1.
That's right.
The quietest bet ever made.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I think I'm going to play the under in that game. That makes a lot of sense, but waiting to hear from some of our guys today. And then
can Texas cover this number against Arizona State?
I'm thinking Texas and I'm thinking Oregon. That's what I'm thinking.
Thinking Oregon now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel very chalky, Texas, Ohio State, and Georgia, although now Notre Dame is a bit of a tick of a favorite at DraftKings. You see this?
Yeah, it's bouncing Georgia around. As well. Yeah, you can find ones on either side, pick them. If we're going to get involved in Texas, we might need to do it soon.
It's moving on up.
Yeah, it's moving on up.
Yeah, or in gaming, all of it. We'll do all that. By the way, and before we get there, because we've got nothing but guests, so I just want to get out this thought. Right after the show yesterday, remember how I was speculating on the show with that Rams number going? I was like, oh, maybe he's sitting everybody. Right after the show, Sean McVay, the reports come out. He's sitting everybody in the Rams game, which, again, is just me not following my own advice. The advice being, these teams tend to care about seeding less than we do as bettors and handicappers.
Mm-hmm.
I am an idiot.
Yeah, well, it's odd to me they don't. Like, I'm surprised, but he's done it before. We're here as guys.
I think I'll try to explain why. It's a pretty simple explanation. On the other side, JBT as well. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
You ready to take your tailgate to the next level? You got to try Sewell's Barbecue. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor, Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, delighting taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From smoky ribs and mouth-watering wings to the perfect backyard burger, Sewell's turns every bite into a flavor-packed experience. Order now at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. I will spell it for you. SewellsBBQSauce.com. Order now. SewellsBBQSauce.com. Flavor this good is just a click away. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Happy New Year to you and yours. You say that to people? To you and yours. It's not very possessive.
Okay, let me put it this way. It's one of those sayings that really irritates me.
Me too, as I say.
Have I said it, though? Probably once or twice, but I've hated myself immediately afterwards.
I only say it in jest because it bothers me as well.
Yeah.
You and yours.
You and yours.
Keno Walker. It's been a great year, and I know you'll definitely make a better 2025 for all of us sports bettors. Thanks for the insights, the knowledge of the game, and most importantly, your consistency. We appreciate you, brother. Thank you, Keno Walker. It's very nice of you. DJ Jams. Oh, DJ Jams. Man, he says, I can't believe I wasted 3 hours watching Stearns Casatkina for Stearns to just blow at Love 40 at the end. New Year's resolution. Never bet Stearns in 2025. Unpredictable like the wind blows. Happy New Year's. Yes, welcome back, tennis. We lost a bet yesterday, a 3-hour, 21-minute women's tennis match. That is very rare. To play three sets of tennis in a women's tennis match, 3 hours, 21 minutes, where one game, the sixth game of the third set, lasted a half an hour.
Jeez.
There were 16 deuces and 9 break points. And wow. I watched every point of it. It's horrible. This is from Tony George, not enjoying the, I posted up the segment with both Drew and Will yesterday about what their most outlying opinion was. Tony George says, people continue to fade the Chiefs with enthusiasm, just dumbfounding. Jackson Allen have proven they cannot close big games, and you make Mahomes an underdog at home? I guess Drew said that. One of the best closers of all time in big games, Casey will be fully rested and healthy. People are very ornery about it.
I'm not looking forward to when we do approach that moment in betting. I've got to make that decision again. Because there is nothing wrong about what he's saying there.
And then Matt Warrior 013 also reacting to that from yesterday. NFC is definitely wide open, but one, if the Lions are the number one seed, then they probably win 2 home games even with that D. 2, best coach and quarterback reside in L.A. They are built for January with a run-first team and wide receivers that block. Weak link is the middle of the field on D. Let me just say that about, just finishing up before we get to JVT, that's the thing about what the Sean McVay thing. Again, not following my own advice, that these teams often don't care about seeding as much as we do as handicappers. Sean McVay probably says to himself, self, we lost to Detroit in overtime. We beat Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Do I really want to risk someone, you know, injuring a key player? Yeah, kind of don't.
And that path has gotten, I mean, it's gotten easier with the injuries mounting on the Detroit side, so.
And I don't know. And in the end, Sean McVay might be confident enough to say, I don't care if we play Washington or Detroit or Minnesota or anybody.
I agree with you. I think as it stands right now, the standings, I wouldn't be shocked if any of those teams came out of the NFC.
JVT joins us, ladies and gentlemen, on this New Year's Day. He is kind enough to join us. He was here on Christmas Day. He's here on New Year's Day. He's our stalwart, VSiN Primetime co-host. And of course, our NBA senior analyst. Happy New Year, John.
Happy New Year, guys. Yeah, Humans and I have the running joke that no matter the holiday on VSiN Primetime, he and I are together. We were together on Christmas Eve and Christmas. We were together on New Year's Eve. We will be together on New Year's Day. So we are workers over here at VSiN Primetime.
I was going to say, you two make a lovely couple, if that's what you're getting. I know what you're getting at.
Gil holds down the fort here. I'd take off one of them.
John,
some of us can't afford to take weeks off, Kelly. But I know.
Right. Exactly, John. Exactly my thoughts. Let's start with the NBA. Let's get that out of the way. Anything NBA-ish?
I'm glad we're getting out of the way because I really don't have anything. You know, today's a football day. I know it's a full slate. Have bet a couple of things here and there. I've been doing some more in-game stuff for some player props so far this year. So we'll keep track of the slate so far today. I will say, if you look at the card overall, I do think the one thing that sticks out to me is Houston laying 5.5 against Dallas. Just considering Dallas and where they're at offensively, I wasn't overtly impressed with watching them against the Kings. And now you're on this road trip against the Houston squad that's pretty motivated. That was the only like pre-flop side. How about that total in that game? Actually, the game after that, I should say 246.5 in Atlanta and Denver. Wow. Very high number. But I don't really want to make a case for an under as much as I really internally want to. But Houston was really the only thing that stuck out to me today.
I would love to go back in time and tell those the 2002 NBA. You know, we're going to have 246 totals coming up in about 20 years. Enjoy. The game gets better.
Yeah, what do we have? We have a 213.5 and a 246 on the board.
That's the crazy thing is you present those to somebody like Gil. I know you like to do the alien thing, right? Present this to an alien and see what happens. These are the same sport being played on the same day. Here you go. Total of 213.5 and 246.5.
Okay, let's get to college football. Or let's say NFL real quick before we get to college football. Let's crescendo to college football. Yep. Anything NFL this week in a squirrely, haven't used that word yet this week, squirrely week 18.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You brought this up, and I took a gamble earlier this week and took three with L.A., thinking that Sean McVay would want to play for seeding and avoid the NFC North path. So ultimately, I took the wrong gamble, so sitting on three. But, like, contest-wise, I'm still not saying no to the L.A. Rams. Jimmy Garoppolo is a perfectly capable quarterback in that system that I think is going to be able to take on Seattle. And, by the way, we do this every week in Week 18, as we always talk about, right? The M-word, motivation, and how this really gets inflated for some of these favorites. Outside of Geno Smith, incentives, what are we inflating this contract, this side for, right? I think that the Rams are very live to stay inside of that number, even with their backup. So Rams plus 5.5 there against Seattle. I'm very much in the camp of taking the points with Kansas City, but turned off by the rumblings that maybe Carson Wentz might not be playing the full game. So that's kind of turned me off a bit. But if you're going to tell me that Wentz is going to give me all four quarters, I still think Kansas City's capable of staying inside of a really big number against the Denver Broncos, against a Broncos defense that has looked a little bit more average when taking on some of these better offenses in the National Football League, and a quarterback in Bo Nix that has flashes, but still I think is somewhat limited at times. I think it's a really big number again for team that doesn't have that does have something to play for, but is, I think, being overvalued by the market. Just because you got to win doesn't mean you have to cover. Those are the two sides that really stuck out to 11. Me is Los Angeles Rams at home and the Chiefs.
11. And John makes a great point in this, is just because you are sitting players doesn't mean you're not going to be a competent football team. Like, that needs to be part of the equation as well.
What do we, I didn't hear that Carson Wentz story. What are we saving Carson Wentz for? We got to make sure he doesn't get hurt for the playoffs.
So I'll be honest, Kelly, I didn't hear that either. Humans just brought it up yesterday and was like, yeah, there's rumors that this might happen. And I was like, I haven't heard this. And so it scared me.
Who else is even on the roster? I don't even see anybody on ESPN.
They got the practice squad guy listed as the third. It's actually a weird name. You have to look at the depth chart because I can't pronounce his name.
JVT, are you still alive in the quarter in millions?
So I know in at the super contest, I have a shot at the 3 and the 9, if I remember correctly. I have to look at the standings again, but I've got an outside shot at placing in those. But okay. Specifically the last three, a good week this week will give me a chance to cash in that one.
All right. College football, rapid fire. Penn State, is this the end of the line for them, or do they have a puncher's chance moving forward?
I mean, I guess you got a puncher's chance because you're either going to get a team with its backup quarterback or another team, which I think is severely limited from a passing game standpoint and who just lost their best defensive lineman, right, in Notre Dame. So, like, I think you have a puncher's chance, but Humans and I were talking about this yesterday. You can't feel overly impressed with that win against Penn State. Like, that's one of those where I think if you bet either side, you have an argument like, no, my side was the right side there. But Penn State wasn't particularly great. Their offensive line, specifically their right guard, continues to make penalties, and they continue to shoot themselves in the foot. James Franklin continues to get cute when he doesn't need to. A third and one, you decide to throw the ball when you're running backs averaging over 8 yards per carry. Another key third down early in the first half where you decide to put your star tight end under center and then pitch it to Drew Aller. Like, I don't understand why Franklin continues to put himself in these situations. And by the way, what drove you nuts about the trick play with Aller is the fact that, Gil, they were up 14-0 in complete control of the game. I don't know why you put that on film or why you even do that.
Dude.
And those are the reasons why I think that I'm very turned off by them moving forward into the next round, whoever their opponent
is. Yeah, they were so frustrating to bet on yesterday, even though it got home. All right, yep. The three today, what's your favorite bet amongst them?
Okay, so I've got quite a bit. I did push back here, and we're starting to get back up. So I laid 12.5 with Texas against Arizona State. And look, like the move around, right, from like 13 to like 12 and 11, whatever, like it's not too big of a deal. But I just don't understand. I understand that Arizona State is the best cover team in the country, but I think there's a thought of just blindly following that and ignoring the fact that you're asking a redshirt freshman without his top target to go against this defense of Texas and be like, here you go, kid, have at it on a neutral. And I think that Texas has proven to be a very legitimate and good defense. They're very good up front. We saw what a very talented front seven, when their only concentration should be that star running back. Boise State did nothing on the ground against Penn State. And I think you get a similar effort here with Scadabo. So I laid 12.5 with Texas. I know we're back at like 13.5. And I also laid 2.5 with Ohio State against Oregon. This is quite the adjustment. Remember, Ohio State was a 3.5-point favorite at Oregon. And now here we are in a neutral laying 2.5. That's a big adjustment. I'll buy low there on Ohio State. And then some player props in there too. Did go under Riley Leonard, 34.5 rushing later tonight against Georgia. And also bet that game under 45.5.
All right. Who wins it all?
You know what? I'm going to go with Georgia. I've been kind of consistent on this. Like, I trust them defensively. I don't really like Notre Dame a ton, as we just talked about with Penn State. I think there's a clear path there to get to a finals, and I think they're good enough and Kirby's good enough to get them ready to go.
All right, John, Happy New Year, man. To you and yours, as they say.
I'm going to say that because my wife is a strong, independent woman owned by nobody.
And Matt Human's not crazy. Reports out there from Peter Schrager.
Please tell the wife I apologize for even suggesting such a thing. Guys. Thank you, John. JVT, at me, JVT, by the way. We'll come back, Kelly and me, with our New Year's resolutions, betting-wise and otherwise. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, you want to become a sharper bettor this holiday season? I know you do. VSiN has the ultimate gift for you or the sports bettor in your life. It's the final week to take advantage of our holiday special. Get VSiN Pro access for everything we do. We offer it through May 1st for just $79. How about that? Sign up now. Get instant access to daily best bets to help you cash more tickets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access to all of our insights and our betting guides, expert picks as well. That includes our college football betting guide, Super Bowl, March Madness, everything you need to win big this season. Make this holiday season unforgettable with the gift of smarter betting. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now and unwrap your winning edge today. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin live from Circa on this New Year's Day 2025. Good God.
I want 12.5, Gil. I can only find 13 on Texas.
I just bet it at 13.
Waiting for Felica. Even though I have a feeling he likes Arizona State.
Because I feel like by game time, which is what, 2.5 hours
it's
from now?
It's going to be pushing 14.
It's going to be pushing 14. I agree. It right now. Before we continue, by the way, can I just say that after the show today, a special college football tailgate show.
Yeah, big day here on VSiN.
If like after this show, you're like, oh my God, Gil and Kelly, you're going away. Don't worry. Don't fret. because Tim Murray and Dustin Sweetelson will be here for College Football Tailgate Special Edition.
That's right. Saw Dustin on the Pro Picks page last night firing away, so I know he's got a lot. I know he's doing a lot with the props.
I like it when that kid fires.
Yeah, he does a lot of player props.
He does.
Like, if, I mean, NBA, he does a great job with NBA player props. Yeah.
Zach does a lot of NBA player props as well. You do as well, Matt Brown.
I do a little bit. It might be on my New Year's betting resolutions coming up.
I don't know how you steered it towards the NBA there. We're talking about college football, but nice job. Nice job you did there.
I don't know how I did either. Oh, Dustin. Dustin does a lot of player props.
Sweetelson. Yeah. That's right after the show coming up at about an hour and a half. But so much more show between now and then, including your tweets at Beating the Book, Los Vegas 514. Double yo. Happy New Year to you and Kelly. New Year's resolutions for 2025. Commodore Super Bowl victory. Finally visit Gil and young Kelly in person. See you in March. Let's go, he says. Come on, Los Vegas. Nice to meet you.
Come on,
please,
man.
Come on down. Joe C714, Happy New Year. Totally agree. Genty, quote-unquote, breaking Barry Sanders' record wouldn't feel legit. Jimmy Lopez, Happy New Year's, fellas. Looking forward to another year of Kelly's head nod. Investing in a quarry in North Carolina.
Yeah! Oh, my gosh, I forgot about that.
That's a very good reference to the clay that is used on Hartrue courts in tennis. Gil's Achilles stories and Gil's three favorite phrases. On your racket, Katie bar the door and matriculating. Absolutely right.
I one of my favorite moments of 2024 was you and Fezzik arguing over Katie bar the door, and me finding googling, and one of the first images that comes up is literally a painting of Katie barring a door.
Right, but Crack had my back though, because me and Crack grew up with the same meaning of it. Yeah. Where we grew up, which is the game's over kind of thing, which is really not what the meaning is, as we found out.
It's not. I don't remember. Do I have to look it up again? I think
yes,
I
please
look it
do.
Up. Katie, what were you barring the door from?
Jason H11, Happy New Year, guys. May your 2025 be filled with lots of big wins and not so many bad beats. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate that very much. Same to you.
It means to take precautions. There's trouble ahead.
Yeah, it's not how we use it. Buddhist Man, Happy New Year to Kelly, Gil, and all the guests, Phil and host, and everyone working behind the scenes at VEASAN to bring us the best show and allowing us to be the best listeners, betters in the game. Thank you, Buddhist. You are the best listener in the game. And then Chance Copperpot. Gil, did I just hear you drop into a saucy Southern accent while doing the Sewells read? Happy New Year's to all. Yes, because someone told me to do it yesterday. And, you know, if someone tells me to do it, then I just do it. Jesse Welch, I think Gil and Kelly might owe Adam Burke money or something based on the heaps of praise to start the show. Just joking, fellas. Love me some Berkey. He called him Berkey. That's true. We love Adam Burke. That was legit. We don't owe him any money. A. Brown, are you aware of any resources that compile player contract incentives heading into week 18, other than, you know, doing the research myself? Happy New Year to you both. I don't know specifically about anything that does, but that's a great thought. Right?
You know what? I know our fine producer, Matt Deutsch of the VEASAN Morning Line, put together a bunch of them this morning.
About a bunch of incentives?
And it's a really good Sal thought. Betts, Twitter handle, I believe, is where he got a bunch of these.
At Sal Betts.
Yep. S-A-L, Betts.
And then Todd Bubba Horowitz, who's doing the seminar, and we hope to have on the show. He says, Happy New Year. Looking forward to another year of a numbers game. Thanks for all the hard work. You too, Todd.
Before we move on, can I bring up something I just noticed? This is a behind-the-scenes VEASAN thing that's been irritating me.
Oh, no. What did I do?
Special numbers game investigation.
What did I do?
So, we've talked about this. For whatever reason, thermostats set at 64 degrees in the studio every, night, morning. I don't know who at night needs it at 64 degrees. And every morning I walk in here and I'm blown away that Dave Ross has not changed it at all. Today I see he has changed it. He cranked it up to a whopping 68 degrees, Gil.
We're freezing
in here. It's freezing.
By the way, can we also send a shout out to Stormy Bonatoni, who is doing the sideline of the Rose Bowl game today between Oregon and Ohio State. So it's going to be Fowler and Herb Street with Holly Rowe and our own Stormy Bonatoni.
That's awesome. That is great.
Oh, I'm so happy for her. We asked her to be on the show this morning and she said, pfft. Too big time for you guys. No, she didn't say that. She just couldn't. She was so apologetic. We love Stormy. We're very, we're biggest supporters.
I think I was bugging her right in the smack dab middle of media days, too. She got back to me like 6 hours later. She's like, sorry, I've been so busy.
She's phenomenal. Don't worry, Stormy. And good luck to her today. She won't need it, but good luck nonetheless, because that's the type of thing you say to somebody. And now it's time for our New Year's betting resolutions for 2025. Do we have a big, sexy intro?
No, but you just did it, man.
We do not.
Yeah, you just did it.
Okay. Shall I go first? You want to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Right. My honor, Your Honor. Bet even more tennis. Continue to trust my numbers. Maybe take grass season off. That's my first resolution.
Tennis. It's not the first part of this that surprises me at all. but I'm not even surprised, but the second part of it, because this is something that in 2024 yeah. became a thing, and you became...
It's only 6 weeks. It's not a bad time to take a break anyway.
Right.
Because you've just every day betting tennis.
Yeah, you've gone for months at that point,
and
every
when,
day.
And when you say betting, it's not just betting, it's you're crunching the
yes,
numbers.
Yes.
Which takes, like, I don't think people realize that with tennis, and you're with golf.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job. Like, we don't just do this. Then we go and we it's a lot. And sometimes there's, like, you know, in the first rounds of weeks where there's like five different tournaments, there's like 70, 80 matches mm-hmm. to crunch numbers on. So bet even more, but maybe grass season off, because grass season doesn't go as well. Something happens with my numbers. Number two, continue to exploit information-based markets like drafts, NFL, NBA, that kind of thing, and lightly bet markets like the College World Series. These are kind of sort of, you could put them in any year, I think, as good betting sort of guardrails.
Mm-hmm.
Number three.
The College World Series over the past few years has become big for you.
Bet MLB judiciously, but not rampantly, especially monthly MLB best record markets. We'll dive into that again.
Mm-hmm.
That, by the way, what a shot in the arm that was for MLB betting this year.
Big time,
yeah. And shout out to all the books, Circa, William Hill Caesars, that put those up each and every month. DraftKings did it for March, April, but those two did it for the whole season. Remain true to the ANG brand of betting education while keeping it light. And number five, and perhaps the most important, continue to interact with the best listeners of any show ever in the history of radio.
That's right. I like it.
Those are mine. Kelly?
All right, cool. Go to mine. I like that we did a couple that were just not pure betting ones, because we kind of, like, we've done that mainly in the past, which is pure betting. And I've been in the mindset the past couple months now, ever since the NBA started. I was texting you about this morning. This is a little bit more of a life resolution thing. But this is, as soon as NBA season started, it was, all right, if I am done with work for a numbers game, it is, I am working out or I'm crunching NBA numbers
wow.
and or every single day. And if I'm not doing one of those, I'm failing myself every single day. So if it's not, like you're talking about with tennis, NBA handicapping, some days that it can go pretty light for me. I can look at a board. I can look at numbers quick, see if there's anything there or not. But if I go a week or so without really sinking my teeth into some stuff and looking at some deeper numbers, that irritates me. It throws me off my process. So that's kind of where I'm operating in, day out right now, just in life. Now, getting to the actual sports, NBA, I think specifically the start of this season, it's been a little frustrating. I'm up a few units overall. I'm up more in my, more, well, I have a pretty good record, Gil, but it's one of those, like, the big bets have gone, like, meh. They've been, like, 50-50, and it's driving me insane. This is usually the time of year that I hit a groove at some point, so I'm waiting. I'm trying to be patient, block out all the noise that even you can get in your own head, and stick to the process that you know what gets you there. Now, I'm going to jump down two, actually, because the one I want to get involved in more, and this is where I want to spend more of my time, is with player props. It is not something I've had a huge amount of success with in the past, to be honest. That's why I don't bet a ton of them, but I know there should be ways for me to find value on those, and it irritates me when I just decide to pass up even spending the time
on it.
Yeah, that's one I'm going to be try to do a little bit more. And when it does come to sides and totals, if I see an edge, I'm usually betting pretty big when it comes to sides. One thing I don't do very often, though, is bet alts. And that's another one. If you're off by multiple points,
coward.
Bet the alts, you coward. Stop being a coward. And then golf. Golf, I think the one thing this year I'm really going to try to focus on is the round-by-round betting. I'll usually make a few. Like, you don't hear me too often come in here on a Friday and be like, hey, I've got three more bets added to my card, right? I don't do that a whole lot. Usually stick mainly with what I've bet pre-tournament, or if there's live betting opportunities over the weekend, I'll get involved. But round-by-round, I did pretty well with last year, so I'm going to try to focus a little bit more on that this season.
I like it. Kelly Bidlin's New Year's betting resolutions as well. Perhaps you have your own. Are you going to stick to the workout thing?
Hell yeah, man.
Are you really?
Yeah. I'm in the best groove of my life right now.
Best groove?
Yeah.
How much weight have you lost?
55 pounds.
Get out of here.
2024.
Look at you. Kelly Bidlin, everybody. On a mission. Coming back, Tim Brando from Fox Sports on the college football quarterfinals. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the kind of player who wants to drop $1,000, maybe $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or maybe you're looking for instant acceptance on your in-game bets? You need SportTrade, the app that's revolutionizing sports betting with minus 104 lines instead of the standard minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a dedicated concierge player service. SportTrade delivers a premium betting experience like no other. Now live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. Download SportTrade today. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on every wager during your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you're someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, we get tweets even on this New Year's morning. Pardon me. We appreciate all the feedback, all the love, all the comedy that you all provide. This is from GV, New Jersey, New York. He says, Happy New Year. May every half-point decision go in your favor this year.
That's awesome.
Very succinct. Very well put. You too. Oh, Grayson Rossi. Sounds like Stormy is big-timing you today, Gil. LOL. Good for Stormy. Look forward to seeing her tonight. She's absolutely...
She sure is and deserves every minute of it.
She deserves... Yeah. I'm going to cheer her on myself. Fred Courier. Huge shout-out today to Stormy. We will all be watching her later today. Kevin Ryan. If I, Gil Alexander, may reflect on 2024, there is only one thing that is blatantly apparent. Joe Jackson Gibbs is the greatest NFL coach of all time. Drop the mic. Couldn't have said it better myself, Kevin. It's like you were inhabiting my body. Seth Middleton. Coming to town this weekend, I need the second-best sushi spot for me and the missus. Ah, this is an excellent question. The second best sushi spot I can give you. That would be a tie between Kabuto, K-A-B-U-T-O, if we're a little more pricey for you and the misses. And then, of course, Sen Sushi. Have you eaten at Sen before out there by the ballpark? By the Aviators ballpark?
No, I have not.
Spectacular. Sen, S-E-N.
What's the one at Wakuda at Palazzo? I only bring this up because I still get triggered a little bit whenever
we Sushi Samba?
No, Wakuda is the one at Palazzo. The Sushi Samba is the one upstairs, right?
I didn't know about Wakuda.
It's really nice. It's really pricey. I had a friend come into town with his wife, and he did like the. I went to the restroom, and he decided to order everybody the chef's, you know, chef's specialty or whatever they call it, for each of us. And it's like, I don't know what it was. It was like $600 per person or something
stop
like that.
It.
He ordered it, and then didn't pick up the tab at the end of the night.
Oh my God.
I wanted to strangle him. I'm still triggered by this.
Prime time.
Because we're not that good of friends.
Prime time. Not anymore, you're not. Prime time. Cowboys_Cubs1. Yo. To you and yours. Break a leg this year or an Achilles for those tribesmen who celebrate. Happy Labor Day. Thank you. Charlie D, USA number one. Happy New Year, Gillen. K. Michael B. That's you, Kelly. K. Michael Bidlin. ANG represent VEASAN so amazingly well, always keeping the memories of the South Point beginnings and promoting those relentless current and future stars. It's truly genuine and why I'm on board. Thank you. Thank you, Charlie D. It's very nice of you. Mariners Geek. Hey, boys, my first college football memories in the 70s are, whoa, Nelly. It's for Keith Jackson and Anthony Carter on TV. Oh, yeah, every week playing for Michigan and then every Notre Dame game in the late 80s. Absolutely. Happy New Year to you, Mariners Geek. John Mala. Is it Moya or Mala? At Mr. Moya Math, Mr. Mala Math or Mr. Moya Math, he says, Happy New Year. I recall that in 1988, to what we were talking about earlier, Oklahoma State was being sanctioned. Ah, yes. Not allowed to be on television, as we on the West Coast did not see Mr. Barry Sanders' incredible season either.
Oh, really?
So that's what it was.
That's part of a sanction back in the days? You weren't allowed to be on national television?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Dude, when SMU got their sanction, it was like the death sentence. Like, you couldn't...
Well, yeah. I mean, that's part of it, though. I don't know. I guess I never picked up on those details.
Jason H. 11 has his betting resolutions. Bet less futures, especially wins, losses. Try harder to block out noise. Don't rush to get off a bet. Let it play out. Make time to meet Gilly and Kelly on my annual trip to Vegas. Mention Sushi, Sigma, and Seeger. All of those, of course, numbers game staples. Blue Hen Bill. Happy New Year's, guys. My New Year's resolution is to listen even more in numbers game. How do you feel about the Barkley situation? Campbell playing everyone and getting away with it concerns me. Super Bowl or bust in Philly. We talked about this a little earlier in the week. We'll talk about it again.
Yeah, stick to your first part of your resolution. Listen to the more numbers game.
Yeah.
Remember, show replays on the app.
We like the first one.
Yeah.
Barkley. So Nick Sirianni is now on record as saying, I'm going to consult with the players. Going to consult with Barkley, going to consult with the players. It sounds like I shouldn't say it sounds like, because I don't know. It's still a coin toss. Because my instinct initially was to say, okay, well, we'll remember that game earlier when the Eagles played the Giants and Sirianni went to the bench and he asked Barkley, hey, Saquon, do you want to get in there and break the record? And Saquon's like, no, man, no, it's for the team. So I thought it was going to remain consistent with that. I'm starting to feel like actually this record might matter to him.
Yeah.
And so maybe he plays in this game, at least to get the quote-unquote record, and Eric Dickerson is at home just dying. Because this apparently means a lot to Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, he said he didn't want Saquon to break it, which, like, anybody who holds a record should want that. And I would... Like,
maybe he's just the only one honest about it.
Right, yeah. And yes, I would think that Saquon and this offensive line and this offense in general would love to get him this record. But I do think the Eagles are. This is not some just young, scrappy team out of nowhere. Like, they've got bigger goals in mind. So I have no idea how they're going to handle it either. I thought with him coming out of the game last week, I thought that was them waving the, like you said, them waving the white flag then on the record. But if the team wants to do it, then sure, I'm letting the guys do it.
I don't think there's a correct answer here. I really don't.
It's kind of like it's kind of like the incentive stuff with Geno. Like, I know you were texting, we were joking a little bit. Like, do you just not play the guy?
You just but not play like, ownership you know, is like get him out of the game.
Obviously, you can't, right? You can as owners because nobody's ever going to want to play for you if you ever did anything like that. And this is a wit to way less degree, but you do have to let the players decide this, I think.
As far as the other one about Dan Campbell playing all his players, I am on record as saying he is absolutely out of his gourd. Having played all his players the other night, and I know it worked out for him. Nobody got hurt to any degree that's serious, so he got away with it. Good for him. But he's crazy. He's absolutely out of his mind. And, you know, when you put this all in the wash and you look at the Week 18 numbers, again, where we stand right here, I have two bets in the account. I have the Rams +3, which, again, I didn't follow my own advice that teams don't care about seeding as much as we tend to. That's at 5.5, announced right after the show yesterday, because I was speculating on the show when it started to trickle out.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this must mean Sean McVay's sitting people. And that's, in fact, what was reported right after we left. So it's 5.5 now. But again, does that mean that do I think the Rams are still a good bet at +5.5? Absolutely, I do. And the other one I have is I'm on the Texans. I got them at a pick 'em. Talked on guessing lines about how I thought I guessed Texans -3. Kelly said it was Titans -4 at the moment. I'm like, why? Because the Titans have every incentive to lose, and the Texans have every incentive to actually play a legitimately good football game heading into the playoffs, because they need to sort of recapture that feeling. I didn't do it on the show like an idiot, make a bet. But right after the show, Kelly texts me, goes, oh, my God, it's down to a pick 'em. And I'm like, let me make that bet real quick. So I'm on the Texans at a pick 'em price. So those are the two I have in my account. The other one now, we talked about it, the Chiefs. I'm absolutely betting that. +11?
Yeah, that's
the 15-1 Chiefs.
That's 11
without Patrick Mahomes. Wow. Are +11.
So that means people were still looking at 10 yesterday and going, I'm betting Denver.
Okay, so what is Patrick, this begs the question, what is Patrick Mahomes worth to the line? If Patrick Mahomes were playing in this football, let's say, well, it's still not a meaningful game for the Chiefs, so it's not exactly a correct thing to say. But if Mahomes, I don't know, if Mahomes were playing in this game, would the Broncos still be favored? Even though it's meaningless to the Chiefs?
It's the meaningless part.
Yeah.
I mean, like, theoretically, Mahomes could play and just hand the ball off every time,
right?
Yeah,
so you can't really make a true calculation on that.
I got a question for you. I'm on the Chargers. So I had the Broncos in Broncos and Vikings in a teaser. So I have the Broncos for when they were at 8.5 tees down. I agree with you, though. Staring at 11, like 11 at this point now, I'm like, okay, we've gone too far. We really expected this Broncos offense to cover that easily or put up that big of a margin of victory. Chargers, though, I'm on them laying 3.5. Okay, it's out to 5.5, 6 most places now. I guess I have to buy off some of the bet if the Steelers win that game on Saturday, right? Because that number is going to come crashing down.
Wait, if the Steelers win that game.
Right.
Wait, aren't the Chargers in the 5 and the Steelers in the 6 currently?
Oh, it was the other way around.
I think it's...
I'm screwing up.
Maybe I'm screwing up. Now you're getting me confused.
Well, regardless, if they win, right, it puts the... it would take the pressure off. Hold on.
No. So the point being that, so if the Ravens lose, people are saying, oh, the Steelers have nothing to play for. Well, they actually still do. because the Steelers
Steelers five, Chargers six.
So the Steelers still want to win that game,
right?
So if they win, is what if they
win? That's what I'm saying. Okay. If the Steelers win on Saturday,
correct.
Now yes. there's not the motivation for the Chargers.
Yeah, I got that screwed up.
Right, to jump up to the five.
That's exactly right. There's a correlation.
So
to
I would expect that number to come back down, even though Harbaugh says he's going to play everybody.
Yeah.
I think I got to take a piece of six.
Yeah, that's the thing with all of this.
It is.
It is a squirrely week in the National Football League. And we will all be very happy when it's all said and done. The seedings are finally locked in and we can actually not worry about these motivations. But for one week, it's actually kind of cool to have to deal with different levels of handicapping. We'll come back. Chris Felica on college football, the three remaining quarterfinals today. What a day it is. That's next.